Church, you may be seated. Most of you that know me know that I didn't grow up in church, and you know I'm not a worship leader. Praise God for Robert. Amen. Lord, thank you. And for the whole worship team, not just Robert, but you ever get a song stuck? I got one this morning that I can't get out of my head. I haven't sung it in so long, I'm not even 100% sure I know all of the words, at least to the first verse. I'm going to trust that some of you that grew up in church more than me will be able to help me. Because there's a song and it says, "On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame." Oh, yes. "And the love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rock." Yes, Lord. "Till my trophies at last I lay down, I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a never lose that legacy in the church. May we never forget those old hymns. May we never, ever forget them. Thank you, Lord." Wow. We almost went Church of Christ there for a minute. Y'all did really well. Y'all sounded amazing. That was awesome. Thank you, Lord. Opening verse this morning, the cross, Matthew chapter 27, verse 35. So, Tammy, a little bit of instruction. With your help, don't do both at the same time. The picture and only show the picture, don't do... Oh, are they associated? Okay. 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 We only may only do that once or twice then. So, Matthew 27, verse 35, "And when they had crucified him, they divided up his garments among themselves by casting lots." Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I am ever mindful of what happened 2 days ago in history, where 2 days ago my Savior was placed on a cross 2,000 years ago. And he was placed there for me. But I'm thankful he did not remain there. And so, Lord, as I deliver this message, Lord, with all that I have planned and intended, God, I pray for anointing upon it. That it would not be anything other than what it is intended to be. that, God, it would fall upon anointed eyes and ears and hearts and minds. Lord, that the anointing would be upon the hearers and the seers to receive the word with the power that it was spoken, that it was written, God. And Lord, that it would even be a little offensive. For sometimes we need to be offended a little bit to understand. Lord, I pray that I'm able to speak this and communicate this the way it's in my heart with love and passion and power, God. Father, I thank you. I thank you, God. Help me. Holy Spirit, lead me, guide me. Oh, Jesus, I thank you. Amen. Amen. It might be fair if I said parental guidance, if I said this might be PG. And I say that because my hope is I can associate something with something else to help make the message more alive and more real. Because it needs to be alive and real to us. And so, I don't know, praise God, I don't know that they're all paying attention, praise the Lord. Because this is probably not a Fifth Family Sunday message. But it's Easter, and if you believe like I believe, time's short. Okay. I'm going to read that opening verse again. And for the first time, maybe the only time, when I'm done reading, Tammy hit it. And when they had crucified him, they divided up his garments among themselves by casting lots. May we associate that noise with our sin. Because that's what happened. May we associate that, those two things together. Because if not for me, that doesn't have to happen. This is the cross. This is what we're talking about. This is the fourth week we've been talking about the cross, and the last 2 weeks we've talked about the unrepentant man on the cross next to Jesus, and then we talked about the repentant man on the cross next to Jesus, and today we're talking about the center cross of the three, the cross that the only cross that really, really matters. It's the cross that was for you, the cross that was for me. It was the cross that we and I, when we sing the old rugged cross, it's the cross that we're singing about. It's the cross that should mean everything for us. It's the cross that we should think about, the cross that if we hang one around our neck, we should think about and associate that noise, that disturbing, terrible, awful noise with that cross. Because that's really what happened. And it's not that noise that I love. It's the noise that makes me almost a little nauseous. And it's the noise that is very offensive. But if we don't associate it, then we are not considering our sin with the power, the emphasis that it actually has. And could I be bold enough to say to you today that we are where we are in part because we don't associate those things any longer. Because it was 2,000 years ago. Because things are so different. Well, that was 2,000. That's just old-timey stuff. That's just like when we sang the old rugged cross. Some of you might have thought, oh man, that old-timey stuff. You know what? Robert, if you ever want to sing old-timey stuff, sing it. Because I love old-timey stuff. The older I get, the more I like it. Because I'm old-timey now. I become more and more old-timey all the time. And no, I didn't grow up in it. And no, it has grown to mean more to me than it did when I was a kid. But it's grown to mean so much to me that it has become more and more, and every day it becomes more and more of a burden to me to share this message and this word and this gospel with more and more people, because more and more people need to hear it and need to know it. And I'm so righteously indignant that I'm having to hold back some things because of some things that I didn't know about until yesterday, until some of you told me at the dinner about this one certain thing that I refuse to talk about. Maybe I should. Maybe I'm wrong for not talking about it, but I refuse to talk about it. But that doesn't mean I'm not affected by it or angered by it. It's Resurrection Sunday. It's Resurrection Sunday. It's Easter. And that's all it is. That's it. Nothing else. I don't care what anybody else tells you. It's Easter Sunday. And I'm, oh, Lord Jesus, I want to turn over a table. I'm just telling you, I'm so righteously indignant because, oh, nope, not going to do it. I'm celebrating the cross today, the cross that my Savior was hung on. The cross that means everything to me. The cross that where He took on my punishment, my sin. I didn't have to hang there because He was. I should have been up there. It was me. It was my fault. But He took the punishment for me so that I didn't have to. Colossians 2:13 and 14. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt. You don't know it anymore. Consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Do it again, Tammy. I hope that hits you where it hits me. I want to reread that verse, but I'm going to reread it my way. And I'm not trying to change the scripture. I'm not adding anything to it. I'm not taking anything away. I'm going to read it to you how I read it to me, okay? Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. When I was dead in my transgressions and the uncircumcision of my flesh, He made me alive together with Him, having forgiven me all my transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against me, which was hostile to me. And He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. It was me. I did it. I'm guilty. I did it. We don't have to have an investigation. but it's not necessary. I don't even need Jeremiah to defend me. But he would. My debt was nailed to the cross, but so was yours. Was nailed to the cross. Oh. I don't know how to. I'm not sure I'm even doing justice to how this makes me feel, how these words make me feel, how this that sound and that picture make me feel. I don't even know that I can do justice to how I feel every Easter Sunday, every Resurrection Sunday, when we play the opening video that we've played, I think, for the last 3 years, that ends with the video of Jesus of the body laying in the tomb, and then that first breath that happens. I don't think I do justice to how it makes me feel. I'm a puddle every time I watch it. I'm just a mess every time I watch it. And it's okay. I don't mind being a mess. I don't even mind being a mess in front of you all. Maybe it rubbed off on me from two men. From two men in my life, my Tammy's grandpa, Eugene Martin, who couldn't pray without crying. Maybe it rubbed off on me. Man, Thanksgiving dinner would get cold because he's still praying and crying. Just crying and praying and praying and crying. Oh, man. And then Pastor Hawkins, that man had the biggest tears I've ever seen in my life that would run down his cheek. Like would make every drop would make a puddle. I mean, just the biggest tears that he would stand up, he would stand right here. And he would, there are certain things I will forever remember about Pastor Hawkins when he was preaching. There were either keys or Tic Tacs. And every time he would make any kind of movement, you could hear either one, maybe both sometimes, right? And he would be hopping up and down. Oh, Lord, we went to the enemy's camp. Oh, Lord Jesus. It was just, oh, my goodness gracious. And I remember there was a group of Nigerian students who started attending church years and years ago. And I remember them, one of them started coming. And then he went back and told his buddies about it. And then several of them started coming. Before you know it, we had 10, 12 Nigerians all coming at the same time. Deji and Adetosin and Tola and Francis and all Shibola and all these Nigerians coming. And the one that first came and then went back, he said, "You got to come see the crying pastor." I'll never forget hearing him about him telling his friends about, "You got to come see this crying pastor. Every time he preaches, he cries. You got to come see it." And I think sometimes, man, he rubbed off on me somewhere, somehow. But I know that so much of what brought him to that place was not just knowing and believing that his sins were nailed to the cross, but that the sins of all of us were nailed to the cross. And he wanted everyone possible to know it. And he wanted them to see the love and the passion he had, because it was the same love and passion that our Savior had. And no, not a perfect man. I love him to death, but not a perfect man. But you know what? I'm not a perfect man, because my sins were nailed to that cross too. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. It's always good when you get to Revelation. Ooh, Lord Jesus. "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood." I'm released. I'm released by his blood. Oh, my word. It's because of that cross that I'm released from my sins. But I'm released from my sins not so I can keep on sinning. I'm not released from my sins so I can live however I want to live and do whatever I want to do, because I'm a grown-up. How many of us have tricked ourselves into believing that we're grown-ups and we do whatever we want to do? You can, 100%. 100%. But that don't mean it's not sin. You can do it, but that doesn't mean it's not sin. And you may not like that. I'll be honest with you. I don't love it. Because that means some of the things I do or have done are sin. But that don't change the facts. Whether you like it or not doesn't change the fact that it is a sin. Told you I was going a little offensive. Told you. I tried to warn you. PG. I tried to warn you. My Bible says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. He has released me. Some of us have been released, but didn't stay released. Some of us went right back to it. Some of us get released and then turn around and go right back. Mm-hmm. Cry, weep, mourn. Ask pastor for prayer. Ask friends for prayer. I need to get rid of this and get rid of it and then go right back to it. I've been there. I'm not casting aspersions. I've been there. I've gone right back to it sometimes. He released us from our sins by pouring his blood out on the cross. The power of the cross is the release of our sins. The power of the cross is that we get released from our sins because he hung on the cross. Oh, man. The cross makes us righteous. The cross makes us whole. The cross makes us worthy. The cross is why we can be called blessed. The cross is why we can be called sons and daughters of God. The cross is why. It's where all of our sins were taken and nailed and left there to be forgotten. Like our Jesus was taken down, but our sin was paid for. His body was taken down off the cross, but our sin had already been taken care of. When he died on that cross, the debt was paid. We were released. When his blood was poured out, we were released. Hebrews 6:6 says, "And then, having fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucify to themselves the Son of God and put him open to shame." When we fall back into that sin, when we commit sin again, it is as if we are crucifying him again. Hit it, Tammy. It's as if we do it all over again. Was it once enough? Wasn't it? Shouldn't it have been? Shouldn't once have been enough? But yet, we've gotten to a place where we don't take it as seriously. Well, I'm just going to do what I want to do because I'm grown up. I'm a grown man. I'm a grown woman. Nobody going to tell me what to do. That's right. Nobody can tell you what to do. They can tell you what you shouldn't do. Tell you what would be better for you. Woo, Lord Jesus. Told you. PG. Oh. Once should have been enough for all of us. I truly pray that today, that when we start to do that thing that we've been trying not to go back and do, when we think about how we're living or what we're doing, that we start to hear that clanging sound when we start to even consider whether we want to do that thing again. When you get on your phone and you go to open that app or go to open the web browser and you're tempted to go to that thing that you know you shouldn't be going to, I pray you hear clang, clang, clang. when you get on your computer, when you turn on your TV, whatever it is, whatever it is, whether it's books or magazines or whether it's some other kind of addiction that you have, I pray you start to hear that clanging. And it starts to help you turn from that thing. Because may you think, there I go, crucifying him again. There I go. There I go. May we change. May we be new creations. May this be a moment. Maybe this be a powerful, heavenly, holy moment where something takes root deep inside of us, and we start to hear that clanging when we consider doing that thing that we know we don't want to do or we know we shouldn't do. When we have that Paul moment, you know, that Paul moment where Paul wrote and he said, the thing that I want to do is what I don't do, and the thing that I don't want to do is the thing that I do, and there's always this battle that's raging within me. Some of you resonates with you. That battle that's within you, the thing that I want to do, I don't do, and the thing that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. I don't want to do it. I thought that so many times when I was a smoker. So many times I would say, I don't want to do this, but there was that battle that raged within me. Other times with other things, that battle has raged within me. And I wonder if in those moments, if I had had that clanging in my ears, if maybe it would have helped me turn from that thing. And it doesn't matter how deep into it you are. It doesn't matter how long you've been in it. It doesn't matter how long you've done it or when the last time you did it. It might have happened right before you came to church. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It can be handled right quick and in a hurry, as my grandfather used to say. Mark chapter 15, verses 29 and 30 says, those passing by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ha, you are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days? And verse 30 says, save yourself and come down from the cross. He couldn't come down from the cross or he would have saved you. That's what's so funny and so odd to me, is they didn't understand that if he had done what they told him to do, it would have been to their detriment. How many times do we want God to do something for us that is actually to our detriment? Oh, Lord, could I just have that relationship? Oh, Lord, could I just have, last night, Lord, could you have drawn my winning numbers last night? Oh, Lord, I don't even know what the jackpot was. I know it was big, but Lord, if he had done that for you, some of you would be prone to do the things that money has always kept you from doing, which are things that you don't need to be doing. Some of us would be terrible, terrible people if we had that $1 billion or whatever that jackpot was. Do you want to know how I know? There's a couple of pretty high profile cases happening right now of big time celebrities who are in a world of hurt. And they got lots of money. And it's made them think that they had the power and the ability to do whatever they wanted to do. And I won't say their names, but they're not hard to find if you want to Google them. All manner of things happening. All manner of things that they've been doing. And been doing it in secret, and been doing it and paying people off and hiding it and all this stuff, thinking they could do it. How many of us have thought we got away with it? We thought we got away with it because nobody knew. Some of us got away with it and nobody still knows. It don't matter. Just because nobody knows doesn't mean it wasn't bad or wasn't a sin. Just because you hadn't been found out yet, don't mean nothing. Just mean it hadn't been found out. They said, save yourself and come down from the cross. I don't think if they knew what was hanging on the cross, they would have been saying, come down off the cross. They would have been saying, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for staying there. Thank you for being there. Thank you for taking that punishment. Thank you. Thank you. Some of us sing, and that's what the song that we should be singing. Thank you. Why do we praise? Why do we worship? It's because we're saying thank you. Because I should have been up there saying thank you, because he took my sin and my sin was nailed to the cross. Thank you. But they're saying, come down, come down. Hey, just save yourself and come down. He could have. He absolutely could have. And that's what makes it powerful. That's what makes it powerful, because he could have. He could have called a legion of angels to come and take him down off that cross. He could have called on his Father, and his Father could have spoken words from heaven like he did when he was baptized, like he did when Elijah and Moses showed up at the Mount of Transfiguration. God could have showed up and spoke words, and everything would have changed in that moment. But the mission wouldn't have been accomplished. I hate that he had to stay there. I hate that he had to die and breathe his last breath and proclaim from the cross it is finished and do all of that things because of me and because of, sorry, you. The cross was for us. The cross was about us. The cross was for us. The cross was all for us. How hard our thoughts, our attitudes, our prayers, our praise should be. Thank you. Thank you. I want to read this 1 Peter chapter 2 and probably stop in a few places as I'm reading it. 21 through 25. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his footsteps. Stop, stay there. He suffered also for you. Not just for me. He would have. Just for me. He would have just for you. That's the love that he had. I can't express how I know, how I realize, how I understand when I hear that clanking that Tammy's played several times. When I hear that, that is pure, absolute, complete love. Every clank, every hammer swing, every piercing, when his side was pierced, it was love that he allowed any of that to happen. Some of you have heard me say before, my favorite Jesus is Jesus in the temple tossing over tables. It's my favorite moment, my favorite version of Jesus. I like the guy that's just like, I've had enough, I'm done with y'all, I'm over it. And there's a part of me that always thinks, that's the one I would like hanging on the cross, that just like came off and just did business, you know? Just handled stuff. Those mockers and all, just, oh man. But that wasn't it. It was the love and the grace and the mercy that he showed. When he said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. When he spoke those final words from the cross, it is finished. What was finished was his mission here. But man, he was really, see, we forget, I think, that after he breathed it or said, "It is finished," that's when Temple Jesus showed back up. Because Temple Jesus went to hell and came back with the keys to death, hell, and the grave. That's when he showed back up, being Temple Jesus again. He went down there and he took care of business for you and me, so that the grave can't hold us. Oh, ain't no grave. Oh, Lord Jesus, ain't no grave gonna hold me down, because he did business down there. Came back victorious. Lord Jesus. Verse 22 says, talking about Jesus, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. So it wasn't Seth. It was Jesus who committed no sin. No lie found in his mouth. No betrayal found in his mouth. Nothing evil, nothing bad found in him. Verse 23 says, and while being reviled, that means hated for any of you that don't know, while he was being reviled, he did not revile in return. Some of us need to take that this week. You're going to need that this week. He was hated, but he did not hate in return. We don't repay evil for evil. Jesus didn't do it. Even on the cross, he didn't do it. He uttered no threats. Somebody needs to hear that. But kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. He trusted his Father enough to judge righteously. We need, as a society, we need more people, more men, more women, that we can trust to judge righteously. Church, we need to be those men and those women. And verse 24, and he himself, here's where it gets good. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Let me tell you what that doesn't say. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might live however we want to live. That's not what that says. So that we may do whatever we want to do. It's not what that says. Trying really hard not to get too descriptive in here. It does not say he died so that we can just be grown-ups and live do whatever we want to do. Even Paul, in that moment, he's acknowledging, like I said earlier, he's acknowledging in that moment when he writes those words where he says, "I want to do, I don't do what I do want to do." Like when he gets that, it's so confusing when you read it sometimes, like me trying to quote it. But even then, like he's not. He says, "I can't do whatever I want to do," but yet I find myself craving that thing I shouldn't. And then those last words in that verse, for by his wounds we were healed. And that's the most conflicting sentence for me. Because I wish he didn't have to be wounded for my sins. I wish I were sinless. I wish I were blameless. I wish I were righteous without him having to do that. But that's not the way it was. Because that battle rages within me. And the thing I want to do, especially those times man, there's that battle within me. I want to tell somebody off. I'm going to tell them how, as they used to say, how the cow ate the cabbage. I want to tell them how it is, how it was, how it's going to be, how it should be. I want to just let them know. I want to let them have it, both barrels. I want to send that text message. I want to, some of y'all will know this reference. I want a Yosemite Sam. I just want to just let it go, let it out. And if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, what happens next is backspace, 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 backspace. But that battle's there. But his wounds provided my healing for all of my sins. His wounds have provided the avenue for all of us to be healed from all of our sins and all of our transgressions. But we are not to be healed from our sins and transgressions to go on sinning and doing those things we've been doing. It's time that we take hold of that and that we cling to the feet and that we get rid of that sin and stop doing it again. It's time that we get to that place where we are willing and able and ready to fight that internal battle that's happening, because you can be victorious over even the internal battle. I can be victorious over the internal battle. He says in verse 25, for you were continually straying like sheep. Yeah. But now you've returned to the shepherd. I think it's time, church, that we return to the shepherd. I think it's time that we return to the shepherd and stop trying to live however we want to live and start trying to live his way. Start trying to live according to his commandments, according to his word and his will. And stop just saying, oh, I don't need this help. I don't need anybody's help. I can do it on my own. I can handle it all on my own. No, you can't. You can try, but you can't. I promise you, I've tried it many times. Tried it many times. But you know what? My best, one of my favorite things that I do once a month is I meet with a group of pastors in Oklahoma City, and we have breakfast and we talk about things. Because you know what? We all have realized we can't do it alone. We aren't made to do it alone. Not supposed to do it alone. We're supposed to have each other to lean on and to cry to and to carry each other's burdens. We were made for relationship. Relationship with him, relationship for one another. Some of us are strayers. Some of us have a tendency to wander. Some of us have a tendency to go to the left or to the right and find it hard to go the narrow way. I get it. I've been there. I still have my moments. Some of us take our eyes off of him because there's a shiny thing here or a shiny thing there. Church, it's time we return. It's time we stay, and it's time that we stand. It's time that we're healed, because he was resurrected so that we could have new life. We celebrate today because the tomb was empty, the battle was won, and he is still alive. Help us be victorious in all of the ways that we need victory. Whether we need healed from illness, from disease, from any sickness, whether we need healed from addiction, whether we need healed in any possible way, by his wounds we're healed. By his wounds, the ones that he received hanging on the cross, by those very wounds that are hard to think about and hard to hear and hard to hear that sound, hit it one more time. It's by those wounds that we're healed. It's by those clanks that we're healed. It's because of that noise. It's because of that sound. It's because of that action that we're healed. And he's resurrected. He's resurrected. And I know that is some of the most difficult thing to understand. How can Jesus be resurrected? The only thing maybe more difficult in all of Scripture is the idea of the Trinity. It's one of the hardest things to understand. The fact that Jesus was resurrected and the fact that they're three in one is the hardest things to understand. And I wish I could explain them better than I probably can. But I know
that he was resurrected so that we can be new creations, so that we can take hold of him, so that we can be forgiven of all of our sins. Tammy, did you see that song I sent you? Okay, it's called Glorious Day by Casting Crowns. I'm going to pray. And what I want to do is, if we can't receive salvation on Resurrection Sunday, I don't know what we're waiting on or what's a better day to do it. I'm going to pray. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes, and I'm going to ask you to treat it as if it was you that was about to raise your hand. Because if it was you that was going to raise your hand, you wouldn't want people looking around. I'm going to ask you to treat it as if this is personal, private business. Because it is personal and private business. I pray that that noise has resonated with something inside of your spirit. I celebrate his resurrection, but I can't celebrate his resurrection without acknowledging his death on the cross. I can't celebrate it without knowing the reason he was resurrected and how he got even in the tomb in the first place. The resurrection speaks of new life. The resurrection speaks of a change, a difference, a new thing that happens. Behold, there's a new thing. I believe the resurrection is what we should celebrate, and we do, and I do, and I want you to as well. But the celebration is louder and the celebration is greater when we acknowledge his death on the cross was for us. Bible says that if you believe with, or that if you speak with, confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus, believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. It's as simple as that. There's a lot more to come after that, but the start is confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Noise, has that noise impacted you? Has that clanging impacted you? What I would ask right now, with every eye closed and every head bowed, and I'm going to be totally honest with you and say my hand is the first one in the air. If you acknowledge that clanging was in part because of you, and if you acknowledge that you don't want that clanging anymore, if you say, I want to turn from sin, I want to be forgiven, I want to be made whole and righteous, I don't want to crucify him again. If that's you, hands in the air, that's me. God, that's me. I don't want to crucify Jesus all over again. Father, I thank you for every hand in the air today. Let this be an acknowledgement, Lord, that we know of our sinful condition, and ask God that you would hear our prayer, God, as we're sitting there, as we're standing, Lord, that as we're confessing our sins before you, as we're asking you to forgive us, as we're asking you, God, to help us not crucify Jesus yet again, that you would forgive us. That we would walk away from here blessed. We would walk away from here being made righteous and being made whole. God, that we would walk away from here a new creation in you, God. That our relationship with you would start afresh and anew right now today. That we will turn from sin. We will repent, ask forgiveness, and you will resurrect your spirit within us, God. You will resurrect us whole and new. God, you will resurrect us to be who you've called us to be, who you've created us to be. God, we will take upon your purpose and your will and your spirit, God, within us. We will become brand new, Lord. Like a shiny penny, God, you will shine within us and around us, God. Father, I thank you for every hand raised. And Lord, I thank you for everyone, whether they raise their hand or not, if they pray and ask for forgiveness. I believe that their relationship has started fresh and new. I pray that you would be with them and help them, God. Because to be honest, now the real spiritual battle starts. Bless them, God. Be with them, Lord. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You're so good. Brother Robert, would you help? Brother Curtis, would you help? Barney, would you come help, please? Ronnie, would you come help serve communion, please? Thank you. It's probably different than how you do it in Brazil. I'm going to let these gentlemen help you. There's the crackers to hand out. If you need gluten-free crackers, there are some plastic containers in the pans that have some gluten-free crackers for anyone that needs it. So grab one of those if that's what you need. So gentlemen, would you please pass out communion? Make sure we hit the nursery and the sound booth as well. Yeah. I'm doing better than I expected I would. It's only 12:07. Thank you. I don't think anybody walked out on me, so I wasn't too offensive. I genuinely thank you. If you would, I usually don't say, would you hold the cracker and the juice until we all, and we'll take it together. Here. At least it was the pastor that did it. Robert said, that's what I thought too. Has everyone been served? So you made a way. Thank you.
thank you for responding. I really appreciate that. Everyone was served. Yes, sir, I've got mine here. Thank you, son. Yes, sir, I'm good. Thank you. I have lots of crackers. So, before he was arrested, he shared their final meal together with the disciples. And somewhere in the middle of the meal, or towards the end, he took bread and he broke bread and he shared communion with them. Today we're going to have that same ceremony, though I'm not breaking bread, but the cracker represents the bread. Please stand. Yeah, thank you. I was getting there, I promise. But that bread represented his body that was about to be hung upon the cross, as we've been speaking about. And he broke the bread and they shared it and he said, this is my bread. This is my body. No, it doesn't become his flesh like some people believe. But it is a sacrament. It is something that is representing his broken body. Brother Robert, would you pray over the crackers, please? Amen. They take the breath. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood of life. Thank you, Jesus. Brother Barney, would you bless the fruit of the vine? As we close out in prayer, Brother Ronnie, would you say a closing prayer for the church? Just to bless everyone as they leave. But would you do it in Portuguese? Pray in Portuguese. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Wow.
Pai, amas Deus.
Yes.
Na cruz, Senhor, perdoar os nossos pecados e a humanidade ter a certeza e a salvação em ti, Jesus. Nós te agradecemos há mais de 2000 anos, Senhor, que fizeste isso por nós. É teu filho, Jesus, para salvar, para remir os pecados da humanidade. Fazê-lo e say thanks, God, for
Amen.
Your sacrifice that you do
yes,
to save us, God, of the sin that we are under, God. Thank
Jesus,
you, God.
Thank
you. God, is we say thanks in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Of course. That's what heaven's going to sound like. Portuguese, Spanish, English. Happy Resurrection Sunday, church. Yes, Lord. Amen. Have a fantastic day.